If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy? Aye?
You'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Here, what's the best game where you swing from a rope? And what's the best game where you batter the pole?
Assassin's Creed 2.
Like I said, you will find out in this your podcast.
Hello and welcome to VG247's Best Games Ever podcast, where we attempt to find the best game within a very specific category. For example, this week, we're looking for the best game with the worst difficulty spike. In video games, as in life, sometimes after you've been coasting along at a comfortable skill level, something comes up that shatters the false sense of security you've lulled yourself into. Like, for example, trying to kill General Ram at the end of Gears of War, or escaping games media entirely until your old boss drafts you back into the fold to host his new podcast. Speaking of which, I am joined by Tom Ori.
Hello, I just forgot for a second this was a video. I was just staring in despair into my coffee. And I remembered, oh, this is on camera now.
Yeah, it's on camera now. Oh, that was your idea as well. So you should be like quite hopped up for this. Hopped up, is that the right term?
No.
We're also joined by James Belcliffe and Sharif Saeed,
Hello.
You guys are kind of like tussling in the leaderboard. You're always like nipping at each other's heels.
Tussling is the right word. Yeah.
because for a while you were both on an undefeated streak. James, you have been defeated a few times now.
I think I lost the first episode I was on. It's only Sharif that has like got the absolute primo record, I think.
Have you ever lost, Sharif?
No.
Unbelievable. Wow. Is that going to be today?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, okay. Maybe today will be the day where Football Manager makes a triumphant comeback.
We could only hope.
All right, okay. So the best game, with the worst difficulty spike. I think we've all got a personal one of these. I think, first of all, I want to hear from Sharif.
Ooh,
what have you got for us?
So
a lot of pressure on this moment.
When I was thinking about this, it may not surprise you to learn that a lot of the examples that came to mind were From Software and Souls games.
Unbelievable.
And I thought, like, A, I've played the From Software card maybe a little too many times, a few too many times. And B, not to say that these games are niche, but the understood sort of perception is that they're all difficult games. So it's not going to be a great argument for me to say, but this level is actually significantly more difficult in the grand scheme.
Yeah.
So I abandoned that idea. So instead, I am choosing to pick a mission from the classic Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. This is the favela mission. It's called Takedown in the game. That mission is the fifth mission in the game. It is preceded by the shock value card of No Russian. So you're effectively, if you're not shooting civilians in that airport, you're party to the shooting that happened. So it's very, let's call it, not mechanically intensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until you get the very end and you shoot the cops, but you're way overpowered. It's not going to be a problem. You're shot at the end of that. And then every single mission before that is the classic Call of Duty spectacle thing, where it's like, we're going to do something cool. And then we're going to have a couple tense moments, but nothing really super intensive. You know, you play the mission in the snow cliffhanger with the heartbeat monitors, and it's like, oh, yeah, look at your heartbeat monitors on your. I don't remember things. It's soap in that one.
Yeah, I thought we were there then. That impression was so good.
And then the first mission of the game is the rah-rah, America's Got Superior Weaponry. Look at all these guys running out in the open in the sort of riverbed thing that you're shooting at them. So it's very much like spectacle, gimmick thing after gimmick thing. And then you get shot in the face at the end of No Russian, and it's almost like the real game begins here. Like it's the end of the first act of the game. And the favela mission, if you don't remember, is the favela section of that mission is basically like quickly after it starts. Like it starts as like a car accident happens, you chase someone, and that someone runs into the favela. And this is where the difficulty spike is like goes from like, Santa Call of Duty, we're just having fun here. Oh, maybe made too many enemies here. I cannot forget the opening section of that favela. It's like an open field, and then enemies pop up from the windows over the rooftops. They open the door slightly and shoot outside, like they position their weapon outside to shoot you, yeah. And you don't see them. And a bunch of grenades come at you, and you're like, oh my God, I am in the open. Like, give me a second. And so for the pretty much that entire section, I have died in it, like not more than I have died in any Call of Duty campaign mission ever. Yeah. Even on low difficulties, I like to play on harder difficulties. And if there was ever a mission that I would lower it for, it would be that. And it's just the game basically bathing in the light of all of these different AI. Like, it's the game gloating about how many AI can cram into a single area and how many peaky holes they can be shooting you from with superior accuracy. And you you're like, what the hell, what's going on? And like the way they kick the door is like you can't quite tell where it is until they start shooting you. And my God, if you never played the classic Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, the flinch when you get shot in those games would send your aim to the sky. And so imagine that someone, one person shooting you, and then multiply that by the dozens that would shoot you in that mission. And then that section takes, let's say, 7 hours. And then you're done and you're like, okay, oh God, I can't believe it. I managed to trick the game into checkpointing me 2 meters after another disaster.
Yeah,
and you're like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I'm reloading. You know, you're doing the walking and talking with the boys, doing a little bit of thing. Like, you drop your guard and you think, oh, okay, this is like the standard Call of Duty pace mission. We're about to have some action with some spectacle a little bit down the road. And you're going down this proverbial and literal road and you hear some dogs. But throughout that mission, these dogs have been behind fences. And so the game's like, But in that little section, the dogs are actually freed from their chains and they're running at you just down that hill. And if you do not shoot them, so if you're at all shocked or like hesitant about like shooting a dog or thinking, oh, is this going to be like a scripted thing?
Yeah.
They grab you and you have like maybe a frame to hit a QTE and kill them. Otherwise, you're done. It's over.
Yeah.
And you'd have to repeat that checkpoint several times and watch where the dogs come from. There are a couple places that they could come from. And it's the most like game, like relax, what's going on? I was just playing Call of Duty. What's happening?
Yeah.
And so my pick for that is that favela mission. It is a nightmare on PC, even with better aim and better control.
Yeah.
It is a nightmare in the remaster because it didn't change any of the mechanics. And I cannot for the life of me imagine some 18-year-old kid playing with like an Xbox 360 controller who like 540p and you can't even tell what is a pixel and what's to do with a rocket launcher and what's to do with a sniper rifle and all the colorful stuff. Oh my God.
Dogs as well. Of course, they're like a much smaller target than usual as well. So it's like everything about that moment is just designed to like it's designed that you basically have to die a couple of times at least.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I'm sure someone did it like speed run it or whatever without any deaths, but like, it's just like Call of Duty, just like, it's like takes a turn on that mission.
It's like, now you must taste death.
Counterpoint to this.
Right.
That really isn't that hard, is it? Compared to lots of games.
I've got two problems with this.
Also,
really.
There's a much harder bit, I think. Did you play World at War?
Yes, I played World at War, and I know the grenade spam World at War.
That is the worst. If you're going to pick a Call of Duty
level,
but I think, I thought about that, but I think that game is super difficult already, and the grenade spam was a problem across all Call of Duties of that era. It's specifically my issue is like Call of Duty was like, oh, we're leaving behind all the shit, we're doing spectacle. Every mission is a cool, weird thing that we're doing, and then that mission is like, you actually need to aim and you need to shoot better and go, 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 go. That's why I think that it's an unearned spike. But like all the Call of Duty games, like, oh yeah, they were broken with like infinite grenades and enemies spawning until you clear a checkpoint. Like, but that was the deal. Like those were games. Whereas this one was like, what's happening?
Also, I would point out that like the best game element of the equation as well. Because Modern Warfare is like, that's the best Call of Duty campaign.
Modern Warfare 2 campaign is like just, like at least top 2, at least.
World at War is crap, isn't it?
Well, it's all right.
It has that challenging element to it.
Good
I mean,
throw
Call of Duty 4 is great too, and the original Black Ops is also good with the where it was just Fight Club. It was just Fight Club, but Call of Duty. I quite like that one.
The numbers. Oh,
Yeah. The numbers, Mason, exactly. Yeah. I kind of agree with you a little bit, Sharif. However, that favela mission isn't even the hardest part of the game that takes place in that map, is it? Because there's the Spec Ops mission with the two juggernauts, which is by far the hardest part of that game.
I don't actually remember that Spec Ops mission. I'm more interested in...
It's so hard.
Exactly. So you said that you can't imagine...
It's not in the main campaign, though, is it? You can't really call it a spike.
Well, it's part of the game. It's fair to... Well, sure, but it's Spec Ops missions are like challenging, like score, beat the score thing.
Exactly.
So it's kind of understandable.
Best game with the biggest difficulty spike. So the biggest difficulty spike in that game, I would think, is the Spec Ops bit. And you're saying you can't think of an 18-year-old kid trying to play that with an Xbox 360 controller. I was 15 or 16 at the time trying to play it with a PS3 controller.
I was that kid,
oh,
Sharif.
Jesus Christ. I forgot.
And my friend, one of my friends was like an absolute Call of Duty god, and he was going for the platinum trophy. And the only thing that he couldn't do, and we tried to do it so many times, was that juggernaut mission. And so I would argue that,
the only Spec Ops mission I remember is I remember the one where you were providing air support to someone on the ground. And the one where you were fighting people rappelling both sides of a bridge. I don't remember the Juggernaut one at all for some reason. I don't know why. But I would contest that this is like the challengey part of the game, and it's understandable if it's a little bit challenging.
Yeah.
Whereas the campaign is like, let's have fun and like look at all these cool tech thing that we're doing. Yeah. And then you're like shot in the face by 6,000 people.
Once again, a spike implies that up until that point, it's been smooth sailing, not fucking to be challenged.
James breezed through the campaign. Suddenly he was doing Spec Ops missions. Massive spike, right?
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with James because it makes Sharif's point weak.
Agreeing with James because you know you've got more chance of beating James than you have beaten Sharif.
I don't think James sailed through the favela mission. I don't think
remember it being hard. I'd also say that when we're talking about like really, really hard games, you mentioned it yourself, Sharif, that Call of Duty is quite generous with the checkpoints, right?
Yeah, but he's playing.
How many
hard,
times are you going to die? Like three or four times in your three games?
So that's what makes it super difficult is that the checkpoint structure in that thing still requires you to cut through significantly longer sort of traps that they have laid around, like the people shooting outside the door and all these things that it makes it still like it slows you down significantly. Yes, checkpoints are generous, but because of the sheer number of angles you have to cover and sheer number of enemies. Like, I was just shooting through just anything that moves. So that was like preemptively just shooting through windows and and by the way, they tried to recreate some part of that in the new Modern Warfare 2. Mm-hmm. But they were sensible in that they were like, okay, we're going to have a couple of traps here and there, but we're not going to have the bullshit of like, because they were like, even now they were like, come on.
It was full of people who remember playing it as an 18-year-old with Xbox 360 controller. Like,
okay, let's not be crazy.
Got PTSD about this. All right, okay. Because I can see Tom losing the will to live, shall we move on to... Tom, you have to go last again.
Why?
James,
why?
Well, because it's better, isn't it? James, what have you got for us?
So... But before I tell you what my choice is, I've got a question for you, Jim.
All right.
Have you ever been so angry at a game that you bit your own hand?
It's a very weird.
No, I can't say that.
James has. Here is the story of when he bit his hand.
Have you ever, Jim?
Yeah.
Been so frustrated with a game that your palms were so sweaty that you had to don a pair of women's weightlifting gloves just to get through?
That can't also, no. That's never happened.
Did they look like this, Jim? I have the actual gloves in my hands. This is a visual medium now, so I can bring props. Have you ever had to don these gloves because the game was so hard, Jim?
No. No. No.
Well, I have, as you might have guessed, for a little game called Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
That's not even.
I love that. No. Sharif's gone through this. Well, I'm not going to do FromSoft for this because that's cheating. And
oh my
and
God, Sekiro was hard. Oh, great.
So,
all right.
Yeah. So all From Software games have this kind of reputation of being like extremely difficult games, right? However, I'd say that Sekiro is by far the most kind of mechanically extreme, particularly in a Twitch sense.
Yeah.
You have people that say Elden Ring's kind of easy compared to the older Dark Souls games, right? That you have so many kind of assists and summon characters and overpowered builds and all that sort of stuff. But Sekiro is very much you have your katana, you have as much strength as you can muster in your stupid little hands, and that's it. And yeah, it's very true to say that the difficulty level throughout Sekiro is quite high, but there is just nothing that compares to the bane of my life, my existence, than the great Shinobi Owl, a man that I hate more than any.
Though the one in the castle or the one in the dream,
the castle one is that particular okay. one.
I think the other one is easier
because it's a less restrictive arena and all that sort of stuff. And obviously there are a lot of great legendary brick walls in Sekiro. There's the chained ogre, there's Genichiro Shina as well, and then there's the guardian ape. But the mechanical complexity, the reaction times, the windows, all of that sort of stuff was just dialed up to such an extreme degree with the Great Shinobi Owl that I think it's testament to how difficult that fight is that for the rest of the game there was some difficult stuff, but that was just on a different planet. It went to Mars with that fight, man.
The final boss of Sekiro is the most difficult boss.
It's really easy to cheese. You can just run around him in a circle and hit him once, run around in a circle, hit him once.
That's a different conversation then.
No, you can't cheese the Great Shinobi Owl. You cannot cheese this man. I've tried, and I failed a billion times.
You could just cheat on PC. You could just pump up your health points
That's in the same.
Using a trainer mod isn't the same as fucking cheesing a boss. Sure. Come on.
Okay. All right. Sure. But I think that argument only works if you're comparing the plethora of From Software games and you're saying like, oh, they were this difficult and then Sekiro was like a big peak and then they went down again.
Very specifically within Sekiro, you have there's always some kind of qualifier that with the chained ogre, you can sneak up on him if you're struggling and you can take one of his health bars. With the Genichiro, the second phase of it is a gimmick fight because you can just jump in the air and you shoot back the lightning. With all of these things, there is none of that with the Great Shinobi Owl. And days of my life were spent and hours were shaved off of it from the palpitations, from the aneurysms, everything. It was terrible.
Is it actually an owl? To be clear, is it actually an owl?
No, he's a big dude. He's like a big ninja dude.
Because I know you fight. Has he got big creatures, right?
Well,
he's not actually.
He's got large hair. I don't know if he's got big eyebrows.
He does, and also he has an actual owl that he summons in the actually difficult Shinobi Owl fight, which you go back and fight him in his younger days as a superior thing, which in my opinion is a significantly more difficult fight. But my thing is still the same. Like I can name you like 3 or 4 bosses that were still as difficult that didn't offer you chances for.
I think the downfall of both of these choices, Sharif and James, is that they've both argued for other points in that game that are harder.
Disagree. It's right? just not true.
So both of those, there's just not a clear enough point.
This is a disgrace. There is so much that's harder in Modern Warfare 2 than that bit. Oh, man.
What is? Name it.
The Spec Ops bit.
That's not a part of the game. But at the very start of this episode, James,
I think,
explained what a difficulty spike is. This is not a spike. This is a sudden, I don't know, rise in temperature in an already very hot.
Sounds like a spike.
I was gonna say
it genuinely is.
You're not getting into Sekiro. Listen, Sekiro, you play that game, you get out of the thing, and then you take a left turn and you fight your first mini boss. This is the game telling you. This is what you're in for. And you do all that. You get to Shinobi, and then you fight, what's his name? Genichiro. And then you're like, oh, this game is difficult now? No, this game is not. This game has been difficult for like 6 hours. You've fought the ogre. You fought all this. You can't come here now and be like, oh, this game is now, oh my, I can't believe this. This was just a difficult boss for you, which is fine. Like, I'm not right. taking that.
No, just like you said, I want to just speak to how good Sekiro is, because I think that's another area that I have to fight, right? That in the kind of pantheon of Souls games, that even though it is the kind of most mechanically extreme, Sekiro is like one of the best, in my opinion, because it's still, even though it's like, has a greater emphasis on mobility, agility, platforming, all of that sort of stuff, it still has the naughtiness that's so pervasive through all of the different From Software games, that there's so many different shortcuts, and the lore is so massive and the world is so rich that it sometimes gets lost in the conversation about difficulty, just how kind of beautiful and grandiose these games are.
It's one of their best
and
games.
Sekiro specifically.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, I was gonna ask, like, Sharif, where would you rank Sekiro?
Well, if I were, it would probably be in the top three. I love Sekiro.
It's the top three FromSoft game.
It'd probably be Bloodborne, like, Sekiro, and then maybe Elden Ring.
I mean, I think, like, a lot of, like, proper, like, FromSoft heads, like people like Timur Hussein, would definitely put Sekiro in the top five, at least.
I adore that game. Yeah, absolutely. So, but I don't agree with James's reasoning for it, but it's a tremendous game.
Okay. All right. Okay. Because that argument, I think, I was looking over at Tom, and Tom looked like he was being forced to listen to a conversation in Klingon.
A bit dull. So I felt maybe we were Alex Donaldson levels of TV.
Alex Donaldson has been given a break from the podcast for a bit, just to give other people a chance to get some points. All right. Okay. Tom, what have you got for us?
So I was thinking about this for a while, and the thing that bothers me about games often is when it completely changes, right? So you're doing something and it throws something that's not like the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And you have to learn a new mechanic or something, and it's a pain in the ass to understand what you're doing. So you're like, it's a completely foreign idea to what you were doing before. One of the things that came to me was like lift levels in lifts or elevators, and they often are right drag, because you literally just, it's like wave after wave after wave. And I remember one in God of War Ascension, which was a right pain. Like, I remember playing that and liking that game a lot. But then there was a bit where you're on some kind of elevator and it just went on forever. And I really put me off that game for a long time. I didn't finish it for months. I just gave up and came back to it and did it in the end. But that wasn't what I picked. What I actually went with was Football Manager, right? Because... I'll explain why. Right, so imagine, and you're playing Football Manager as, let's say, Tottenham, right? And you've been playing for years in your little world, playing as Tottenham, and then you have a downturn in form, the board still supports you, whatever, but then actually you're fired a couple of weeks later. And then Football Manager, when you're fired, it's weird because you're still playing, time's going by, but you're just doing nothing, right? You just got no job, you're just sitting there watching results come in, doing nothing. And then you think, oh, I'll just wait for a job offer to come in. You might apply for some jobs. And then nothing happens.
Escapism.
And then, yeah. and you're like, oh, I've got to get a job because I don't want to really, like, I've invested in this world to a degree. I could start again, but let's just stick with it and see if I get a job offer from somewhere. Nothing happens. And then you get, like, a job offer in from the Dutch league or something. And you're like...
Right, yeah.
Let's give it a go. Why not? Let's give it a go, see how it goes. And you're like, I don't have a clue about anything to do with the Dutch league. I know a couple of the team names. I don't know any of the players. I don't know anything about the Dutch league, really. And then you're like, when in Football Manager, you can do a lot of research in terms of looking at pure numbers, but a lot of the initial kind of thrust in terms of how you build your team is about players you know. You try and sign some kids you know are good, some players, you know, other teams that are good. You go to the Dutch league, you have no clue, and it's all about research and looking at the stats, and that makes the game so much harder because you have no clue about the world you're playing in anymore. And I think that is a proper difficulty spike because you've had it easy. I've been playing with Spurs for like 6 years at this point. I know the team inside out, I know the league inside out, I've got my whole structure set up, all the, like, the coaching staff, everything done, the team set up perfectly, I've got my formations, got my training. You go somewhere else, completely different league, new squad, new coaching staff, The scouts are all different. Everything has to be redone. And suddenly the game becomes a lot harder and you end up stopping and starting again after about two seasons.
Yeah. So there you Plus go. You have to learn Dutch.
Football Manager. Yeah. That, I mean, if you really want to go for it, but yeah.
What team are you in this hypothetical scenario?
I was, no, it's a real thing. I was, I want to say 20. How do you put it? Is it 20?
Yeah, C20, obviously. Yeah. Won the league under Steve McLaren in about 2012. So is it really that hard if he can do it?
They weren't in that division when I took over.
Why do you have like instant recall of facts about the Dutch league?
I know. I was thinking this with the when Tom tried to do Zidane for the 90s hero, that I was just like, it's such a good thing that I wasn't on that podcast because I would have been like, oh, actually, Materazzi and Zidane's rivalry goes back to the 90s when he was at Juventus and Materazzi's Perugia team stopped them from winning Serie A.
Because like, I remember, if I recall that episode, people were like, oh, yeah, can't remember who it was that he headbutted.
Yeah. I can tell you the whole story if you want it on this podcast that was about a different podcast, but it's not worth it, is it?
We don't want that at all. We just want Jim to consider that I've given an actual very valid answer to a question. No one can argue with this.
I could just
do the same thing
in FIFA or Ultimate Team at the end of a season.
Why don't you pick FIFA Ultimate Team? You didn't, did you?
I'm just saying, it's the same thing of like you're starting out with an underpowered team because you're unfamiliar with the players and they have to look at raw numbers until you build them up to something that you're more familiar with and then you beat them. Like that's every Ultimate Team start for every year. Like that's not unique to Football Manager.
This is different in that it's a lot easier to kind of, it's in most leagues, most players are from the league, the country they're in, right?
Yeah.
Ultimate Team is a bit of a fantasy thing, like just let's pluck players from anywhere. And there's no actual sense of like making someone join you.
Yeah.
You just go and grab them, right? There's no actual like making them think this is a good team.
Yeah, there is.
Just
paying money and getting lucky in packs.
Football Manager is all about building up, like you've got to convince the people to join you. And when you don't know many of these players, that's quite hard. Even going after the right ones is tricky. Whereas you know who the up and coming stars are if in the English league, for example.
Yeah.
You don't know when you've gone off to play in another country. It's just a lot harder.
Yeah.
If you're getting cards of players you're not familiar with and you have to look at their numbers to get through the early stages so that you can have enough money to get the players that you want, that's a similar thing.
No.
All right.
And
okay.
The Dutch league's easy.
I need to pick something now. So we're going to play the pick something jingle.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right.
I need to put my gloves on for this.
Once again.
Strap myself in.
Why are there women's gloves and not men's gloves? Because I have the hose that I left with. I don't know why there are women's. Like, why does it matter?
Who knows?
Like, why is this a detail in the story? I feel like it's...
James, have we gone quiet for you again?
No. Okay. I was just putting my gloves on.
Were you just ignoring Sheree?
No, I didn't hear what he said. What did he say?
I was saying, why are they women's gloves?
Like, because they belong to my wife.
Got it. Okay.
I
just didn't understand the emphasis.
I mean, they could just be for a small man.
Yeah. James didn't go into Argos and went, I want your finest women's weight.
I was like, what? Like what? It was like,
all right. Okay. So I have to. I have to pick something. And
one person has had a game that can't be challenged.
I am all.
Hey, can say that again.
I am always like whenever it's Sharif, I'm always like, is this when the streak breaks? Is it? And I'm happy to say no, it isn't, because I'm going to give it to Sharif again. Because. His is the only one that I would consider a genuine difficulty spike. And you cannot argue with the quality of Modern Warfare 2. So Sharif has won that again. So the streak...
James, he literally said why it wasn't the only difficulty spike in the game.
It's not even the hardest part.
It's not. It's not.
You're getting into Spec Ops.
He was so angry, he raised his gloved hand.
It's not the only difficulty spike. Nobody said only difficulty spike.
You said worst. You said worst. Yeah. It's not the worst one.
Yeah,
I could just as well tell you, like, leveling up a thing in multiplayer, or like getting a broken, like, against Noobtube one man army was the most difficult thing. That's multiplayer. You're getting into a less predictable, less curated. No, I'm just saying, like, it's the less predictable, less curated part of the game.
It's a better choice. My choice is emergent gameplay. My choice is an emergent gameplay moment, not bad game design as well. It's actually just a part of, like, life.
Yeah, but
the
difficulty
spike
that you identified is, like, possibly not relevant to most...
It's also not exclusive to Football Manager.
When people talk about difficulty spike... The most commonly understood definition of that is there's a campaign and one bit of it is really, really hard.
I didn't realise, Jim, it was the most obvious thing. I thought it was like trying to be interesting.
How long were you feasibly stuck on level 5 of Call of Duty? Like, you died like 3 times?
No, I died a lot more than that, James. That
it's
was
not worth
yeah.
it.
I had trouble
to the point
for
that I remember
seasons.
It like twice now.
Two seasons.
Yeah. Sharif's never even raised his voice against the dog. So it was actually really difficult. All right, okay. Look, that's the end of this podcast.
This is how Connor feels.
Connor would be like 7 minutes deep into a rant now about how he researched it and he's had it installed on his phone and the police have been round, but he's so dedicated to the cause of winning.
He picked a Disney game? That he'd said, oh, you've never picked it. Like 2 weeks ago, he picked a Disney game that wasn't out when he was even born.
That's true. I'm absolutely certain Connor has tried to pitch stuff that he hasn't actually played, even though he claims he hasn't. I'm absolutely certain you've tried to pitch a game that you've never played as well, Tom, now that we're on the subject of last week's controversies.
Don't just accuse me. Where's the evidence?
I don't know. I'm not an evidence kind of guy.
I've played every game ever made.
Honestly. I have played every game that I have nominated for. Yeah. So you can quote me on that.
Yeah, it's because you only ever nominate fucking FromSoft games in Call of Duty.
That's not true. It is possible to play a game that was made before you were born or and one outside of your... You know, I'm not out here playing SimCity or City Builders or RPGs, and yet I nominated Spore as one of them because I played it as a kid, and I was like, "This is worth including in this episode." In that episode, I guess.
A legendarily bad game.
Right.
I've started checking email, so can we wrap it up?
Okay, so the best game with the worst difficulty spike is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. And I think a lot of people will agree. I think the Tom was robbed mob will be up in arms about this one. Interestingly, there is no James was robbed mob. It's not a thing. Maybe it will be a thing after this episode. Thank you so much for listening or watching. Please do leave a 5-star review for us on your podcast platform of choice, or leave us a YouTube comment, give us a like, give us a subscribe, all that nice stuff that helps the algorithm show people our faces.
Tell us if the way you imagined we looked is the way we look. Does that make sense? Like, tell us if you listen to someone on audio for a while, you sort of draw this mental vision of them. And if you see them, so was this shocking for any of us, or this was in line with what you thought?
I mean, I think for the most part, people watching it on video had probably seen other videos that we were in.
Oh, I guess that's fair.
But I do. Yeah, that is a point. Actually, there must be people who have only listened to the podcast and then gone and sought us out. I wonder if we looked anything like you imagined. Okay, right. So we better leave it there. James is absolutely raging, and we've got to record the week after us next as well. So he's still going to be raging going into that one. So thanks very much for listening. Bye.